There are three sacred hours in the Scripture. And they're referred to, basically, originally they're referred to as the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour. Those 3 hours of the day are sacred to the Lord. And He wants them to be sacred to us. The third, the sixth, and the ninth. Now what that means is, and of course we know that the people in Bible days didn't have a watch. So often the Scriptures will say it's about these hours. It's just an acknowledgement that they're saying what we understand now, they didn't have a watch. So they're giving a guesstimation when those times are, yet giving that qualification, they're still acknowledging that the third and the sixth and the ninth hour are sacred to God and should be sacred to us. They're just saying we can't tell exactly when that moment is, as we're more able to do. So it's in the area of that. The way they're figured then for us is they figured just generally to start marking the hours at 6 a.m., 6 o'clock in the morning. So the third hour would be what time? 9 a.m. The sixth hour would be 12 or noon. And the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. So 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. So try to keep us in mindful of that. But scripturally, they're referred to as the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. They're important, they're sacred, as in all the sacred times of the God, because they point to Jesus Christ, they're fulfilled by Him, and He is the way. Amen? He is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. So they all point to Him. That's why they're sacred. That's why they're important to God. In Mark chapter 15, beginning I think around verse 25, we begin to see how in regards to our position, what Christ has done for us, we see these 3 hours being played out. And this is the heart of why they're sacred. It was in the third hour, which was the hour of the morning sacrifice at the temple. It was at the third hour that Jesus Christ was crucified. It was at 9 a.m. that He was nailed to the cross. That's why that hour is sacred to God and wants it to be sacred to us. It was the sixth hour at noon, the sun at its height, when darkness descended over the face of the earth until the ninth hour. It was the ninth hour, 3 p.m., when Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means and it was shortly after that He bowed His head, He breathed out His life and said, "It is finished." That's why the ninth hour is sacred. The third, the sixth, and the ninth all are landmarks of the work that Jesus Christ did for us in order to be the way for us. He gave His life for us so that He could pay for our sins, so that He could crucify with Himself our old creation. And Mark, it's interesting, Mark, the earliest forms of Mark that we have end with the women leaving the tomb in fear. It's because when Jesus laid down His life and died for us, His resurrection was never in a doubt. His resurrection was never up for uncertainty. He is the Son of God. And even though He came as a human for a time, He is God. And once He gave His life for us to pay for our sins and to nail the cross with Him our old creation, He rose from the dead 3 days later because He is God. And He brought with Him us as the new creation. That is the position that God gives to us in Christ, marked by the 3 hours, 3, 6, and 9. And God gives them to us as a gift and says, "Here, take it." Then we are to experience it. In John chapter 4, we know the familiar story that Jesus had to go. He said he had to go through Samaria. And he stopped at Jacob's well at the sixth hour, which is at noon. The sixth hour. Noon. And a woman came out from the city. She was a Samaritan woman. Jesus said, "Give me to drink." The woman was shocked that Jesus would speak to him. One, that she was Samaritan, and she was a social outcast in the eyes of the Jews, and she knew it, and that he would speak to her because she was a woman. So she questioned him about it. And he told her, said, "If you only knew who it is who is asking you for water, you would ask for him to give me living water." Living water that not only would allow someone never to thirst again, but that would well up into springs of everlasting life. And they have a discussion about her life. Jesus says to call her husband. She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You're right, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." This woman was a sinner. Her life was in turmoil. And she meets Jesus at noon. And Jesus talks to her about worship. You must worship in spirit and truth. And that whole interchange ends with that woman acknowledging him as the Messiah, as the Christ. In Acts, Paul, who was Saul at the time, was persecuting the church, persecuting those who believed with him. Saul, in and of himself, you could not find a person more zealous for God. He was living his life out for how he thought that God wanted him to live, and according to the Scriptures, he was living all out for how he interpreted the Scriptures, told him to live. You couldn't have studied the Scriptures more. You couldn't have known them more than Saul. You couldn't be more dedicated to living them out by works than Saul. But on to Damascus, at what time on that road did he encounter Jesus? Sixth hour at noon. And two times in Acts he describes, he said, "I saw the light of the Lord and it outshined the sun, so much so that it blinded me." And he asked him who he was he's talking to. And the voice from heaven said, "It's Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Isn't it hard to kick against the goads?" Hard. And at that moment, Paul gave his life to Christ. High Noon. How many ever seen an old movie with Gary Cooper, High Noon? It is with us. All of us have a high noon, a moment of decision. Like the woman at the well, like Saul who became Paul after that conversion on the road to Damascus. When we have to decide, that gift that the Lord gives to us, marked by the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, we'll accept it into our heart and life and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Hopefully every one of us in this building today has made that decision, have faced our high noon, that moment of decision, and accepted Jesus Christ in our heart and life. If we're not, during the song of invitation, come down, pray together with me, and accept Him today. But then, in Acts chapter 2, we read that all those inner followers of Christ who have made that decision to accept Him, they were gathered together in a room. They were looking to the Lord and depending upon Him. What a wonderful model this is for us. That after we accept Jesus Christ, we need to depend utterly upon Him and not settle for anything less than what happened to them. The promise that Jesus said would come. And the promise is there for us. Jesus promises us. Jesus assures us that if we will depend upon Him and not settle for anything less, He will fill us with His Spirit. He will empower us with His Spirit. He will grant to us the experience of who we are in Him. And we will grow and grow more into His power, His strength, and who we are in Him. Jesus promises that if we will be faithful, depend upon Him, and not settle for anything less. And that's what the disciples were doing. And they would not leave the room where they were at until the promise came. And on Pentecost, the promise came, and the Spirit was poured out, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they were able to to speak in tongues that the people gathered in Jerusalem for that great feast of Pentecost from all over the world could understand the gospel, the well message, the way in their own tongue so that they could be told about Jesus Christ in a way that they could hear it. And Peter stood up as a spokesman for that group. And it's interesting what he said. He said, "We're not drunk like you suppose. When we operate by the Spirit, the old, new creation is drastically different from the old creation." But remember what Peter said. "We're not drunk being it's just the third hour of the day." The Holy Spirit was poured out on the third hour at 9 a.m., the same time that Christ was crucified, the same time that the morning sacrifice was given in the temple. And by the way, when Jesus breathed out his last at the ninth hour, that's the time the Jewish people have always had the way and salvation so near, Paul says. It's in everything that you do. If you just believe. Because when Jesus breathed out his life at the ninth hour, that's the time of the evening sacrifice at the temple. Everything points to Christ. But the Spirit was poured out at the third hour at 9 a.m., marked as sacred time. The call for us is, in the progression of the way, to walk the way, to live that life by faith, to depend upon Him as ones who believe in Jesus Christ, and do so and look to the Lord to fill us with His Spirit more and more, to give us the experience of who we are in Him more and more, and not settle for anything less. In our own life, and in the life of the church. Paul was in disagreement with some in the church, and he was saying, "I'm coming, and we'll stand together, and we'll face one another, and you stand with your words. But I'm not coming in words only. I'm coming in the power of Christ." That is the reality behind the words. That is the strength and the power that cannot be mustered up in and of ourselves. That's the power that Zechariah prophesied about when he said, "It's not by might or by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Then we see what the Lord is able to do. Then we're able to see what the Lord is able to do in our lives, the experience that He can give us. We can see what the Lord is able to do through us when it's all about Him and from Him and the Spirit moves. Then we see what the Spirit can do. And the Spirit can lead people to Christ. The Spirit can lead people to accept Jesus Christ. The Spirit can move people to depend upon Christ and draw close to Christ. The Spirit can bring healing and comfort and peace. The peace of Christ that the world is so desperate to experience and tries to manufacture all kinds of artificial means to try to imitate in some sick, perverted way that peace that only can come from Christ through His Spirit. And when people get a taste of that, like the woman of the well, they know that Jesus is right when He says, "When you drink of that water, you're not going to thirst again." That satisfies. That's what you're looking for. That's what you need. That's what people need. And to not settle for anything less.